Hello, everybody. We are back. The FPL Banter Pod is back. It will be its first full season this year, hopefully. Obviously, I gave it a little test run last year, and I got some positive feedback on it. So I want to continue it for the full season. Maybe if I'm lucky, I can get a few of my FPL friends on the podcast as well at some point this season and have a few other voices in the pod, but we shall see. If you're new, welcome. And this is the first one, so obviously, unless you've been living under an FPL rock, there have been some new additions with FPL this season. Assistant manager has gone, which a lot of people will be happy about. It was very swingy. Very, very swingy, and I think the right decision was for it to have gone. But in order of us losing the assistant managership, we have gained 4 extra chips this season. Now, it's the same chips that we normally have, the bench boost, the wild card, the free hit, and the triple captain. But we get it in 2 halves of the season. So we get the first 4 half, the first 4 between game week 1 to, I think it's game week 20, and then we have the same again, but another 4 from game week 21 to 38. So we basically have 8 chips to play with this season. I really like the addition. I think it's, some say it's a little bit arcadey and bits and bobs, but I really like it. I think it means you can almost have fun with it the first half of the season, and then the second half of the season, it's more serious because, you know, blanks are coming, you know, double game weeks are coming when, you know, certain teams get far into FA Cups and European Cups, Europa Cups, all that kind of stuff. But the first sort of half, you can kind of have fun with it. So that's that. And then we have the defensive contributions. So if you know the rules of the goalkeeper, if a goalkeeper makes, I think it's 5 saves, he gets an extra point. And then I think it's 10 saves, he gets an extra 2 points, I think. But with defensive contributions, if your defender and midfielder gets 5 blocks, they get 1 point. And then if the defender gets 10 blocks, they get another point. But if a midfielder or a forward gets 12 blocks, they get another point as well. So you're essentially potentially getting 2 extra points, depending how many players you have in your team that make defensive contributions. You can end up with, say, maybe 4-6 points extra in a game week if you're lucky. I think it's an interesting thing to have. I think we had it, I can't remember which one it was, but I think if you played the Fantasy Euros last year, that was in it as well. And there was a lot of positive feedback on that, and they wanted that to come into Premier League FPL. So that's another great addition. Now, the one addition that's caused a bit of controversy is the AFCON edition. So this is the year where in December time the African players in the Premier League go and play for their African nations in the AFCON, which is between December to January. And this season, when the week of AFCON comes, you will get 5 free transfers in your FPL team. Now, you don't get, if you've got 5, you don't get another 5. So then all of a sudden you have 10 transfers. If you have 3, you'll get 2 to make it 5. If you have 1, you'll get 4 to make it 5. If you have no free transfers, then you'll get 5 free transfers. So obviously, to get the most out of that situation, you know, I think it's game week 17. I think game week 16 is the last time you have to use your transfers to get the 5 in game week 17, I think. A little bit of controversy. I think people who love to plan their teams in FPL would have used that as sort of a planning, and that's what we love to do in FPL. We love to plan forward. We like to plan months ahead of what we want our team to look at potentially, and then obviously, you know, if an injury happens, then we have to reorganise that. Where this whole AFCON chip has, well, not even a chip, these AFCON transfers have made it a lot easier for FPL players to manage it. Some people will probably be like, oh yeah, great, you know, 5 free transfers, I don't have to panic, I don't have to worry. Where others like me would have kind of liked the drama of it, like, right, okay, Salah's gone, Kudus has got, like, you know, Wiss has gone, how am I going to do this? And where now it's kind of like, oh, well, Salah's gone, I can sort that out with a free transfer or 2 free transfers. You know, it's made it a lot easier for us to do it. I mean, unless you have an FPL team full of players that are going to AFCON, then you may need more than 5. But, you know, 9 times out of 10, I think most of us will have 2, maybe 3 players going to AFCON around that time. Salah will probably be the main one. However, some may not have Salah, which I'll get to in a minute. So it's been a busy, busy window this year, hasn't it? It's been, you know, and we've still got stuff ongoing. Unfortunately, we've had Mbeumo going to Man United, as a Brentford fan, that, you know, that hurt. We've had Kudus going to Spurs. We've had Gukerez going to Arsenal. We've had Isak potentially going to Liverpool at some point. Alanga's gone to Newcastle. There's been loads, and João Pedro going to Chelsea. There's been loads and loads of transfers this window, and there's probably still a few more to go. I heard today that Chelsea are having talks with Garnacho, so that maybe opens a little door if people want to look at him, and whether he starts at Chelsea, whether he doesn't. So loads and loads of Etiquette going to Liverpool. Kirk is going to Liverpool. So we're going to want a lot of Liverpool players, I think. Wirtz as well, going to Liverpool. They've gone massive, Liverpool, in the window. And as I said, many more to see. So it's kind of, you don't want to get caught in a trap of, oh my God, he's just signed for Arsenal, we need to get him in. Or, oh my God, he's signed for United, we need to get him in. Like, you want a bit of a balance. So you may want to take a punt on a new player that's never played in Premier League, like a Gyökeres or an Etiquette. Or you want to play it safe for the players that you know will play every week, and you know, have a sort of a safe balance going into game week 1, 2, and 3. So I will read you my team. Before I came on here, my team looked a lot different to what it was now. One of them was because of a Rodgers injury, apparently. Whether he's going to be fit for game week 1, I'm not too sure. But yeah, I'll basically go through my team. I'll discuss it, and then I'll also discuss maybe some other additions that maybe I could chuck in. So we have... excuse me. We have Sanchez and Kelleher in goal. And then we have my defence. We have Virgil van Dijk. We have Wan-Bissaka. Mickey van der Ven. Aina. And Konsa. And then we have a midfield of Wirtz, Saka, Gakpo and Palmer. And Xhaka is currently on my bench. And then we have a front three of Erling Haaland, Thiago for Brentford, and Mark Gayou, who has now signed for Sunderland and has potentially tipped to start for Sunderland. He came from Chelsea. Now, the glaring problem in that team is probably, where's Salah? I've decided to go for the approach at the moment. There's still a week to go and a lot can change in my team. But at the moment, I've gone for the approach of not having Salah. Why? I think the signings that Liverpool have made, Etiquette, Wirtz, Kirkez. There's someone else I'm missing, I think. Frimpong as well. Now, I know Kirkez and Frimpong are wing-backs, but basically there's a lot more of an attacking threat from Liverpool all of a sudden, where I think last season Liverpool still had attack. They still had, you know, Darwin, had Jota, you know, rest in peace, Jota. They had, yeah, that, but I think Salah was always the one that you just, you relied on to get you a goal. And where I think this season, with Wirtz coming in, with Etiquette coming in, and with Isak potentially coming in as well, I think there's a lot more, there's going to be a lot more goals and assists shared out. For example, I think Kirkez will be on the assists. Virgil will come up for corners a lot more, I think. I think he did last season, but I think he was more, right, I need to get back kind of thing, rather than trying to score goals for set pieces. Yeah, and I just think, I think Salah's ceiling, I think he Salah had his best season, last year. He was absolutely brilliant. But now he's got a new contract. He weren't that good. I think I read this somewhere. I'm not quite sure where I read it. But I'm sure after Salah signed that contract that he was waiting for all season for, I think he scored 2 goals and 1 assist in 6 or 7 games. Now, I get it. There was the end of the season. Liverpool had already won the league by then by about 20-odd points. So, Foots were taking off the gas a little bit. But he did have some golden chances along in those games that he missed. And I'm just wondering if maybe he's hit that ceiling and maybe he's going to not digress. But I just, as I just said, I think the goals will be shared out more evenly than what Salah had last season. And I'm not convinced with the fixtures that Salah has at the first few. Bournemouth, okay, fair enough. Bournemouth at home is a great fixture. And then you have Newcastle away. I get Newcastle at the moment. They can't sign, you know, they've gone for about 8 different signings. I mean, at this point, they struggle to sign, well, me for Newcastle. I don't know what their negotiating methods are, but they just can't seem to missing out on certain players. And it's a bit dumbfounded to me. Obviously, Wissa does want to go to Newcastle, so we'll see how that one plays out. But so Wissa might go to Newcastle, and if Isak goes, then Wissa could be the number 9 for Newcastle all of a sudden. But yeah, back to the whole Salah thing. I'm not a fan of the first 3 fixtures for Liverpool. I think going to St James Park at any given day is still a hard place to go. And then they have Arsenal at home. And, you know, Arsenal-Liverpool is always a tight affair. It does have goals in it, granted. But, again, I just think the goals could be more shared out than they were last season. Whereas the other premium player in FPL is Haaland. Now, first of all, City have easier fixtures. That's kind of why I've gone Haaland. And Haaland's record at the start of the season is ridiculous. Both seasons, he's been a machine at the start of the season. Now, some would say, well, we had De Bruyne back then. And, you know, De Bruyne's gone, so that means Foden has to step into that role. And they've got Reginda, they got Chekri. Rodri's back, which I think will be a big help to Haaland and to those attackers for Man City. And I just can't overlook Haaland's form at the start of the Premier League season. I'm pretty sure he got something ridiculous, like 11 goals in his first 5 games last season in the Premier League. And In his first Premier League game, he scored 2 goals. And then in the first Premier League game of last season, he scored 2 goals as well. So if we're going on stats, I'm essentially guaranteed 2 goals from Haaland. Now, I get it. You know, every game's different. Every season's different. You know, he may not get 2 goals next Saturday. But I just think on the fixtures, I think Haaland's a better option than Salah. And I think me picking Wirtz and Gakpo, I can cover Salah's points with them too. It is risky. I get that. It's risky. Salah's going to be highly owned. He's going to be highly captained as well. So if he does bang, I'm in a bit of trouble. However, if the differential, which will be Haaland will be a differential because everyone will go Salah, and Haaland at least matches it or betters it in the first few weeks, then I'm on a good stead for the start of the season. It may change. The Community Shield will answer a lot of questions for me. You know, if Salah does score, then, you know, I may go into a bit of fear of not owning. And I'll have to jump on that bandwagon, unfortunately. But let's see how he plays out. I want to see how Gakpo plays as well. And the reason I got Gakpo in is because, as far as I'm aware, every game this pre-season, he started on the left-hand side. And which is very... Now Diaz is gone. It's very interesting to see how they're going to set up, what they're going to do. I think at the moment, as it stands, obviously, Wirtz is going to be the 10. And then at the moment, Etiquette is going to be up front. And then with Salah on the right, Gakpo on the left. If Isak comes in, what happens then? Does he play Etiquette as and Isak as a 2? And then Wirtz maybe on the left and then Salah on the right? I don't really know how they're going to play it. I don't know what Slot wants to do. But I think at the moment, until Isak's there, it will obviously be Salah on the right, Etiquette in the middle, in the striker, throwing Wirtz just behind, and then Gakpo on the left. I think Gakpo's almost going to solidify that spot. He was brilliant at the end of last season, so I think he deserves his place in the Liverpool left-hand side. Now, Virgil could be Van Dijk. Virgil is Van Dijk. Virgil van Dijk could be Kerkez. Again, I want to see how he plays. I want to see if Frimpong starts. Because even though they bought Frimpong, I'm not sure he starts every week. I think they're going to maybe alternate. As they got Robertson, they got Tsimikas, they got Kerkez. They got a lot of options now where Slot might go for a more defensive approach. Where I think Frimpong's a very attacking wing back, that he may bring him on when a game needs to be won, or he may take him off early when a game needs to be defended. So yeah, the Community Shield will give me a lot of options. But I'll go through from my team really. So that's one of the glaring problems, the Haaland versus Salah debate. At the moment I've gone Haaland. Like I said, I'm waiting for Community Shield, but I think I'm 60-40 sticking with Haaland. But again, we will wait for the Community Shield. Now, my keepers, Sanchez and Kelleher. I think you want a 5.0 keeper and then a 4.5 of either Kelleher or Petrovic. If you want to go 4.5, I don't mind it. I don't mind getting Petrovic and Kelleher. It's not great, and I don't think you're going to get many clean sheets off Kelleher or Petrovic. I think Bournemouth and Brentford are in a similar situation. I think Brentford are a lot worse off because we lost our manager, we lost Mbeumo, we lost Norgaard, we're losing Wissa as well. Yes, we've had a lot of outgoings. Henderson's come in, which is more of a mentor role, I think. Malambo's come in for us. Whether he starts or not, I'm not too sure. But obviously we lost Flecken and we got Kelleher. And Kelleher was brilliant for Liverpool when he had to step in. So again, I don't think I'm going to get a lot of clean sheets from Kelleher. But if I need to play him, I think I can guarantee some save points in that. Sanchez is more fixtures. I think Chelsea have some really nice fixtures, and that's why I've gone there. If you want to go sales for the same amount of money, I do not mind it. I could easily do that. But I've got Aina as my Forest defender, and I don't really want to double up on a defence yet. I think that's the safe bet, because you don't want to put all your chips on a certain defence. And really, at the start of the season, you never really seem to get a lot of clean sheets, whether that's top of the league teams or bottom of the league teams. and then, yeah, my defence, because of defensive contributions, I've tried to almost set up as a 4-4-2. So at the moment, Van Dijk and Van de Ven are my centre backs, if you like. And then Wan-Bissaka and Aina are my wing backs. Aina was solid last season. That's why I've gone there at the moment. That could potentially change. I'm not too sure yet. But I think Aina's a solid pick. A lot of people are going for him, so it might be a bit of a fear of missing out on Aina. And Wan-Bissaka, look, they got Sunderland. And Wan-Bissaka is a starter for West Ham. Don't think that's changing anytime soon. I don't like West Ham's chances of staying up this season, I'll be honest. I think West Ham are in a bit of trouble for potential relegation, because I think Leeds and Sunderland have done some really good business, and they could break the whole teams that have gone up, going back down curse. But, you know, Wan-Bissaka is solid. He will defend. He will go forward as well. And if you're lucky, you could get some assist points for Wan-Bissaka. The one I'm waiting on, and I think City are playing their only friendly on Saturday. I do want Ran, but it's Pep roulette, isn't it? And you could go Gvardiol, because I think Gvardiol's a starter for City. So I don't mind it, but I think they brought in Ran, so Ran can basically do what Gvardiol did the season before, last season. And then Gvardiol will move into more of a centre-back role. I want to wait and see how City's pre-season friendly plays out, and if Ran starts, more importantly. Because I think if Ran starts to sit the pre-season friendly, then I could see Ran starting the first Premier League game, which would then make me maybe tweak my team slightly to get Ran in, because I really do want him. I'm just sort of waiting and almost fearing the whole Pep roulette situation that we've all been stunned by. So that is the one sort of player I'm looking at. As I said, Kirkes as well. Kirkes could easily be swapped for Van Dijk. And the midfield. So Saka was Rodgers. I do want a Villa player in. I don't have a Villa player at the moment, but I do want a Villa player in. And that the midfield in the forwards is where I need to have a conversation with. Because literally before I did this pod, as soon as Gyökeres was available for FBL, he had not left my squad till about five minutes before the pod. And I suppose I'm getting a little bit of cold feet with he blanked in his. To be fair, he only came on against Tottenham for 14 minutes, but he plays 63 minutes and he still blanked. Now, there is arguments that, look, he had no pre-season with Sporting Lisbon, so he literally come into Arsenal and started playing games. So it could be just simply They're trying to get his fitness up to speed. But it... Again, I said at the start of the pod where you want to have a balance. You may want to chuck a newbie in there, like how with Verts. I think I'm not worried about Verts. I think Verts will hit the ground running. With Gyökeres, it's a tad bit risky. Where now, if I go Saka, we all know what Saka can do. Saka's on pens as well. He's on set pieces. You know what you get with Saka, and I think you can almost guarantee points with Saka. So at the moment, that's why I've gone there, as I said. And that spot, that Saka spot, so I could take Saka out for a 7.0 or a 6.5. And there's many I'm looking at. Rice, Kudus, Johnson, Rogers if he's fit, Sade for Brentford, even Damsgaard as well for Brentford, I'm looking at. So there's a load of options in that 6.57 bracket you could go to, and which mean I could get, some would say, a better striker partnership than Haaland, Thiago and Marquinhos. So that those two positions are the one I'm looking at. I'm looking at, do I go all premium in the midfield, in terms of all premium without Salah, in Palmer, who will take the penalties for Chelsea, in Saka, who will take the penalties for Arsenal, or do I take Saka out, get like a Kudus or a Brennan Johnson or a Rice, and then I can get a 9.0 striker. Or even a 7.5, so maybe I could get Solanke for Spurs. They have Burnley. And or I take the punt on Gyökeres, who has... Fair enough, they have Man United first game, which isn't an easy fixture, even though I think Man United's defence is still suspect, but they have Leeds. And that's the game where really I want either Saka or Gyökeres. It's not so much United game, it's more the Leeds game. But I'm trying to save a transfer because I want an Arsenal player for that game. It's like, well, you might as well just bank him in now rather than set a team up and waste a transfer to get an Arsenal player. So, yeah, that's a conversation I need to have. However, at the moment I'm playing a 4-4-2, and the Haaland-Thiago partnership... there's probably a little bit of bias in it because our fixtures aren't great. The only easy fixture we've got is Sunderland in our first five games, I think. It's a really hard start. Forest away, Villa at home, and then Sunderland away. They're our first three. However, now with Mbeumo gone, now with Wissa going, potentially... This is the year where Thiago shines. He had a big injury last year where we only see him... Well, I think he started one game and came on for three of them. And we haven't seen him since. But we know he's a talent. We spent 40 million on him a season and a half ago. So it's sort of his time to shine. But it's also players like time for Sade to shine as well. Carvalho at the moment is playing on that right-hand side where Mbeumo was. And he's a 5.0, so there's always a risk you can go for Carvalho at 5.0. but as I said, Thiago will be on the pens, and I feel if Brentford are going to score goals, at the moment it will probably be either Thiago, Sade or Damsgaard that are in those goals at the moment, unless we bring someone in. I don't think we will, not until... the season kicks off at least. Maybe at the end of August we might bring someone in if things aren't flowing the way we want them to. But yeah, as I said, Thiago will be our number nine. He will be on the penalties, which is why I've gone down that route at the moment. But as I said, potentially Saka could come. The main conversation I'm myself is I want to see how Gakpo plays in the Community Shield. Obviously, I want to see how Salah plays. If Salah bangs, then I'm gonna have to probably concede the idea of Haaland, unfortunately. And then I get Haaland in, and I get a more of a balanced strike force than this one, where I basically got a 14.5 in Haaland, and then my next second strike is a 6.0 and then a 4.5. So yeah, the conversation I'm having myself is Gakpo, Saka, and whether Saka stays Saka or he gets downgraded to a 6.5 or even a 5.5. And then the strike force, whether I keep it as Haaland and Thiago, or whether I take a punt on bringing Gyökeres in, or do I play it safe as Ollie Watkins, who has scored in every single preseason at the moment. Same can be said for Mateta as well, by the way. Palace have had a good preseason. No word if Eze's going or Mateta. So that's something else to maybe look at. Maybe take a punt on a Palace striker. I don't think their running's great either. So, yeah, these are the things I'm looking at the moment. I'm quite happy with my goalkeepers. I'm quite happy with my defence. As I said, the only one I want to get in maybe is Ran. And if I do, then I'm going to have to change the midfield even more. So that's my first draft. I'm happy with it, I think. But as I said, a lot relies on that Community Shield and how City play on Saturday for me. Chip strategy. I'm considering a bench boost in game week one. If I don't do it in game week one, I think I'll play it in around the AFCON games just before the cut-off. So I think I'm either going to play bench boost right at the start, I'm going to play it right at the end of the first half of it. Depending how my team goes, I may wild card on the first international break. Sam, if you're listening, Zoom time around the international break. As for the rest of it, I just don't know. Like I said, that first game week 1 to 19, you could just take a punt on any week. If you just fancy it, do it. I think, and that's a beauty, and that's why I like it. I think if you just have that feeling, you think, this is a good week to bench boost, or this is a good week to triple captain, or, you know, go for it. I think that's kind of the point of the first half of these chips. Just kind of go for it. If you have a feeling, if you have something telling you this is the week to triple captain, this is the week to bench boost, this is the week to free hit, go for it. I think you don't necessarily have to follow crowds in this first half of the season, because the first half of the season, unless there's a massive, like for example last year, Liverpool had that massive storm in Merseyside where they couldn't play the game, so they had to move it to a later date, hence why we had a blank early on in the season. You know, stuff can happen, unprecedented things can happen where we could get a blank or a double in the first sort of 1 to 19 games of the season. But 9 times out of 10, it would just be, you know, one Premier League week of single fixtures until we get to the knockout stages of Champions Leagues and Europas, and that'll be after game week 19. That's when those chips you can kind of plan, because then you, for example, you can then play your second half triple captain when there's a double, and you'll play your bench boost when there's a double, and that kind of stuff. So yeah, in terms of chips, that's what, I don't really have a plan for it yet. As I said, I may bench boost in game week one, and if I don't, it will probably be a bench boost at the end of the first half of the game week chips. Yeah, That's it at the moment. As I say, welcome back. It's good to be back. It's been a long, long summer for me personally. And just, yeah, it's dragged a little, isn't it? I know we had the Club World Cup and the women, the Lionesses, winning the Euros, which was great. But it's just nice to get back into FPL, Premier League as a whole, going back to Brentford games as well. I can't wait. Annoyingly, our first home game isn't at home this season, so I've got to wait that little bit longer to go to a Brentford game. But yeah, looking forward to that. Brentford Villa, our first home game, so I'll be at that. Yeah, it's good to be back. Thank you for listening, and I will do another pod probably Thursday night, because then on the Friday we'll be going to Fantasy Football Fest and counting down the deadline for a first game week of this season. Cheers, guys, and green arrows.